while they're still young and they're not shy. Tomorrow, they'll say, we don't believe this. They'll just be sitting in church. I'm not interested anymore. So let them enjoy it now. we get them well trained. You see, with the children, it's nice. Because tomorrow, like Joshua said, we didn't pray tonight. What's going on? We didn't pray. Let's pray. Amen. Let's get into a different channel. We get into the song. Let's, that song.
In His presence, that's me. Thank you.
do that this evening. God bless you. We've come to call upon his name. It's good to come for prayer. The prayer without prayer, what are we?
Hallelujah.
And what can we do?
Amen.
Saints, really do appreciate your prayers while you're away. Really glad that things went so well here. Amen. Greetings from the saints there in Poland. It was a real wonderful time. I'll just say a few things about it on Sunday. It was a very inspiring time. So really appreciated the journey that we took. And it's good to be back in his house, to come back into in his presence.
Amen.
In his presence, that's where we belong.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles. Let's get a few scriptures before we come to pray. Let's have a good old prayer meeting like we used to have. Just take a thought, we'll pray, then put our petitions before the Lord, and then we have prayer requests and we'll pray a second time. Let's open 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very short verse, but it's a very challenging one.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Let's read from 16 up to 18 just to get before and after. Paul says, rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
In everything give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's a serious thought. Pray without ceasing. Now, so if you find that a scripture comes like that, let's go back to the book of Exodus. We read a verse from there because you know that Paul, everything that he took it from the heavenly pattern. So Exodus chapter 30, this is speaking of the altar of incense. Before the veil, right before the Shekinah glory, there was the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer, the incense being offered in prayer. So he says in verse 7, Exodus 30 verse 7, says, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. So when he came in the morning to light the lamps once again, he'd offer incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 8, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations.
Amen.
So this incense was to be perpetual. It was to be offered. This fragrance was to come Amen. Before the Lord all the time. Even in their journey, when they took the tabernacle down, when they covered the altar of incense, the Lord told them, still let the incense be burning.
Amen.
Because you need this kind of an attitude, this kind of a condition, right the way through the Exodus journey. When you're moving from place to place, when you're settled in a certain place, you need prayer. You need this kind of incense. Let's pray. Father, how we desire that our incense would be offered before thee acceptably upon this evening, Lord. How we would desire your grace, even as you've said in your word, that we know not how we should pray as we ought. But Father, thine unction within us, thine spirit within us, Lord, quickens us and helps us, Lord, to pray according to the will of God. So let it be done upon this night, seeing the needs of your people, bringing each and every one up unto thee. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take that thought just for a short while, saints. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Let's look at this one, a pray without ceasing. That's a serious, serious thought. When I was meditating on the scripture today, it was a great challenge, but it's a great comfort as well, to pray without ceasing. Now, what is Paul meaning when he speaks about praying without ceasing? You know, then you go back and you look in the tabernacle and knowing that you are the temple of the living God. You know, so you are the fulfillment of the type which Moses was instructed to construct, the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, you know, it was interesting how it worked. You'd bring this incense. Now, this incense, if you read about what made up the incense in the book of Exodus, was made up of four different things. And it was something, it was a certain type of a fragrance the Lord was looking for. And the Lord told the children of Israel, said, nobody else can make this kind of a perfume, this kind of an incense to use in the homes, anything. Just this is just a something to be offered before the Lord.
Amen.
So even the incense which speaks of the prayer, it wasn't something you just threw together haphazardly and went and offered anything before the Lord. You would have fallen dead because you were coming right before the veil. Here was the veil. There was the mercy seat, the other side of the veil. Here was the altar of incense, the closest that you could get to the presence of the Shekinah without going into the inner veil. So even your approach had to be in a certain way. Not everybody could offer this incense. It was predestination. The Lord had to separate a people. He separated the priesthood, the Levites. And then he separated, you know, the high priest. And he was the one that would come and offer this incense. And as the offering was being made on the brazen altar, the offering, the sacrifice of the lamb, the bullock, the daily sacrifice in the morning, at the same time when they'd offer for the sins of the people, you know, you'd find the priest now would go in, he'd offer this incense before the Lord. And then that incense would continue on that altar of incense, to continue to bring forth this fragrance before the Lord right the way through the day. Amen. And then as it was now diminishing at the end of the day, you find at the time of the evening sacrifice now, when the sacrifice was made of the blood shed for the sins of the people, you would find the priest now would come once again and he would take now this incense and he'd offer it once again before the Lord and he'd renew this incense before the Lord. So it really does speak about prayer, because you're going to have certain times in the morning you got to consecrate yourself. But then the Lord doesn't want it that from that time that you go right through the day and you're a prayerless kind of a person. You know, now you don't have that, like the Jews had that custom. They were used to, you know, three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. They would seek the Lord in the hour of the time of prayer. But it became like a custom to them that those are the times that you offer prayer. Now it's getting near to the time of prayer once again. Let's go and offer prayer once again. It can become like our prayer meetings as well. Or you come and at the end of service, people offer prayer. Those are good. That's good. You're offering your incense upon the altar of incense. But the Lord wanted perpetual incense on the altar. He wanted a fragrance coming before Him night and day. Now He wanted this something, this fellowship, this communion, this fragrance that would bring forth His blessing. It wasn't something that He wanted like a stop, start sort of a thing in prayer. And that's what Paul is picking up on now when he says, pray without ceasing. He says, this is the kind of thing that the Lord wants. And when you really think of that kind of a thing, it's similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ said when He said, if you abide in Me and My word abides in you, then you shall ask what you will. You know, so it takes a serious kind of a life. Now, this is not just offering prayer. This is a prayer life. That's what a believer is called to. We're not just called to pray just in the morning and pray at different times, but we're called to a life of prayer. And a life of prayer is a life of consecration. I mean, no person could live anything like Paul is, the Holy Ghost in Paul is exhorting the believers to do here, if you're not in communion and fellowship with the Lord. And this kind of a walk where a person can be communing and fellowshipping with God continually, you know, not speaking the whole time. You know, so you can see straight away from this that prayer, in order for us to be able to pray without ceasing, as Paul was exhorting us to do, it shows that prayer has got to also go long beyond the words that you say. Because there's going to be a lot of times you're not going to be able to say anything. But the Lord's saying, still pray. Pray without ceasing. So it shows that prayer is an attitude of the heart. Now, prayer is a condition of your soul. It's a certain attitude. And what prayer is, when it's prayer without ceasing, is this is a continual condition of dependence on God. That's what the Lord's looking for. That no matter what comes up, you're depending on Him. You're realizing, I need His presence. Now, there's going to be certain times that your prayer will be audible during the day. There's going to be other times that you'll speak to Him from within the veil. You'll speak, you know, to maybe without uttering your voice because there's something that you need. Or, you know, you want to thank the Lord for something that He's done. But it's an attitude of the heart. Now, friends, prayer can become a tradition and a custom. Now, we are so used to being told you must kneel down in prayer. You know, you must pray in a certain way. But if you go and look in the Bible, prayer was offered in any way that you can possibly think of. Because prayer's got nothing really to do with your posture. Nothing to do with the length of what you say. It's nothing really to do with how loud you pray. Because some of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, like Hannah when she prayed, she didn't say any words. It says only her lips moved, but she uttered no words. So it shows that God isn't looking at your words. No, to really, really pray, offer an incense before the Lord that the Lord's going to respond to, it goes beyond your words. You know, it's the condition of your soul. It's your soul is depending on the Lord. The soul is looking for communion from the Lord. You're coming across a situation inside of your life and the run of your affairs during the day and the tendency, the natural, the reaction of your soul when it's in the right condition is, Lord, show me what to do here. Lord, how do you want me to answer this person? Lord, thank you that you protected me there. It's that kind of a God consciousness in the soul of a person. Like the prophet says, you know, I've set the Lord always before me. No, I've set him at my right hand so that, you know, I shall not be moved. So it's that kind of a condition. Now you can really see to get yourself into that kind of a condition to pray without ceasing, it's going to need some commitment. No, it's going to need a person that you know, there's certain things that are going to hinder you from being in that condition. So you're going to stay away from those things. Yes. There's certain ways you could spend your time, certain, you know, ways that you could, things you could read, things you could listen to, conversations that you could have, and you're going to find, but hey, no, this one here is a hindrance to me fulfilling the scripture rather than something which can quicken me and help me to fulfill the scripture. So now for a person to walk like that, that was a real challenge when I was thinking of it today. This is going to be a real, real effective person because this is the walk that Jesus walked. Jesus was always in prayer. Not audibly. Doesn't mean all the time that he was speaking, but he was always in the attitude of prayer. An attitude of worship. He was always in an attitude that if he needed to pray, he knew, my Father's near. I can speak anytime. Father, I know that thou always hearest me. But because of them that are near, that's why I pray like this. You know, so Jesus, no matter what situation that it was, you know, he had kept himself in a certain condition. His soul was in a certain condition. He had kept his communion up with the eternal who was in him all the time. So whenever he needed something, whenever he needed wisdom, whenever he needed direction, whenever something happened and he wanted to worship, you know, there was a reality in his worship. There was a reality in his prayer. And that is what Paul is speaking about here when he says pray without ceasing. Now that kind of a life is a fruitful life. That's going to bring forth a lot of fruit because of the atmosphere that soul is in. You know, but us, we obviously think and say, but I have to go to college, I have to go to work. That's fine. I mean, the Lord understands those kind of things. You know, this, but you can find way to commune with the Lord in any situation, in any time, in any place. You find Nehemiah in the Bible when he came before the king, when he came before Artaxerxes. And then the king said to him, this is sadness. You know, you weren't allowed to be sad in the presence of the king as a cupbearer. This is nothing but sorrow. This is nothing but heaviness of heart. Hallelujah. And then Nehemiah and I wanted to speak to the king and he says, oh my Lord, how can I not be sad because the city of my father's sepulchres that lies waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Then he says, then the king asked of me what I required. He says, and then I prayed unto the Lord. Amen. And then I answered him and said, oh Lord, let me go for such and such a season. That's a powerful thing. But the Lord so much respected that prayer of Nehemiah. It was such a short little prayer. It wasn't even said in words. It was a prayer that was just from his heart. When he came into a situation, Lord, I need you to help me. How am I going to answer this man? Now this is important. I need to answer this man well. And he just prayed from within his heart and God recorded in his word. You know, sometimes prayer isn't what we think prayer is, friends. Jesus says, don't be like the Pharisees. No, who pray these loud, long prayers to be seen of men. You know, yet their souls had no communion with God. So what they were saying wasn't reaching heaven. Because it's what's coming from your heart that reaches heaven. It's the expression of your soul. It's what's the burden, the desire, the, you know, what you're seeking from deep within the veil. That's what God hears in your prayer. And that's why the Bible says we don't even know how to say the right words. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Ghost catches that desire of the soul. And he quickens you and helps you to frame that desire, to somehow express it in words that need to be expressed before the throne of God. There's a prayer, friends, that so much goes together with communion. With communion with God. And that really needs a consecrated life. It needs you to walk softly before the Lord. Now you think of the different situations in the Bible where you see people praying. You think of, even in our day, when you read there about Sister Mida. Yeah, she used to pray ironing the clothes. You go and read it in Only Believe magazine. She says, well, it was a burden to me ironing until I thought, let me use this as an opportunity to pray. I don't know if she was praying aloud. Maybe there were other people, there, children nearby. Maybe she was praying inside of her. Who knows how she was praying? But every shirt or dress or whatever it was that she was ironing, she took it as an opportunity to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
It's a serious thing. I was reading about Susanna Wesley. Remember, she had the 19 children. But you know how she used to pray? Whenever she needed to pray and have communion with the Lord, she'd go and sit in her rocking chair and she'd take her apron and cover her face. And she had taught her children, whenever mommy does that, be quiet and respect what I'm doing. And she used to just cover her face and have communion and speak to the Lord whenever she felt the situation was too much, or she didn't know what to do and she couldn't handle the situation, or she just was longing for fellowship and communion with the Lord inside of her heart. She would just sit in that place. Yeah, we have this idea that we've got to always go to a certain place. Now, it's good to do that. To offer your morning and your evening sacrifice. It's good to have your closet. It's good to go to a certain place at a certain time. That's fine. But prayer must go beyond that.
Amen.
You know, we don't want to just be praying at those times and then be prayerless for the rest of the day.
Amen.
And then when it comes time in the evening to offer the evening sacrifice again, we're putting incense on the altar. No, the Lord said, let it be a perpetual incense.
Amen.
Let there always be incense on the altar before the Lord.
Amen.
And friends, that really challenged me when I read that. Now, when I read this, I went to see, but you know, Paul, he was a real man of God, and Paul lived that kind of a life. It doesn't mean you won't, your mind won't go into business, won't go into your studies, won't be occupied in other things, but there's still a reliance inside of yourself when you realize each step of the way, each hour of the day, that you need His presence. That you thirst for His presence, that you want to be in fellowship with Him. Friends, this is what the prophet was preaching when he preached in a veil.
Amen.
When he preached those messages, when he says a person get themselves so shut in with God, that it doesn't matter what's going on out there. You know, it doesn't matter the strife and the toils and the temptation, all the things that are coming from without. When a man's shut in that place,
Amen.
All of these trials, they just make you want communion with Him even more. You know, the harder things become out there beyond the badger skins, you know, the more attractive it becomes in here, where His presence is, where His comfort is, where, you know, His strengthening praise, like we're singing there, in His presence, that's where I'm strong. And you realize that. You know, that's why when Jesus came, now remember we spoke once about Jesus when He prayed, it was a revolution, because nobody in the Old Testament could call God Father. God was the Father of Israel. They didn't have a concept, the Jews, this personal, you know, spirit of adoption that you can say, Abba Father. They didn't, Jews, no, God was too far. God was too holy. He was the other side of the veil. So when Jesus came down, He could just kneel down and didn't have to just wait for the hour prayer in the temple. He could just pray any time. And when He prayed, He had such a personal fellowship with His Father. He would say, Abba, Father. That's like saying, Papa, God. No, Papa, you know, please, can you help me? You know, and the Jews would look and be shocked to say, but hey, how can you say Papa to God? You see, because they were under dispensation where it was formal. Now, that prayer had to be offered in a certain way. You had to stand lifting up holy hands and all those things. And had to be offered in a certain place at a certain time. But Paul now is saying, but no, the veil's been rent.
Amen.
That temple's been taken away. The way is open now. Now we can pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Now anytime you want communion, anytime your soul desires fellowship,
Amen.
With the Lord, anytime there's something that's wanting to be expressed from within, you have every right, with words, without words, whatever that it is, you can pray, you can express something.
Amen.
And as you draw near to Him in your soul, He draws near to you.
Amen.
And that's how you're staying in His presence. And that's where all the fruit's ever going to come in your life. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me, yeah, my word abide, you shall bring forth much fruit. And your fruit shall remain. And the Father shall be glorified. You know, so that is the condition. But friends, it's not an easy thing in this age. With all these distractions of Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, the news, all these other things, there's so many things that surround us that I want to come and pull us this way and pull us that and take us away from that communion, that sacredness where we're in the right condition to be able to come with this, these four different elements to make up the sacred incense. You know, it's going to be so easy for us just to get out of that and then, you know, go through our stages of prayerlessness. That our souls are not reaching out to God. Our souls are not seeking Him during the day. Now, when we're meeting somebody, it's just, we're just talking to them. But when you're in that kind of a condition that you're praying without ceasing, when you meet somebody, you're praying, Lord, grant me favor to speak to this person. You know, it's that kind of a, that's going to bring forth fruit because of the condition that you're in. Because the Lord said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So all the time as you're walking the pilgrim walk, as you in the battlefield, you're facing up to responsibility, whatever it is, now your heart is drawn near to Him. Why? So you can bring His presence down into your current situation. Just say, but Lord, I need you now. I've got your word before me, Lord. I want to read the word. So no, you want to draw near to Him so He draws near to you so He becomes part of what you're doing. You're at work and you've got to go in for a meeting with the boss, or you're going for a job interview, or you're at college and you've got a test, or you've got to study for your exams, or there's your landlord's not happy with you and you have to go and have a meeting with them, or you know, your child is sick, whatever. Now, if you're praying without ceasing, it's you've got a reliance, a realization inside of your life that I need Him all the time. You know, so you got keeping yourself in a certain condition that when now the situation comes, you can draw near to Him. And His presence draws near. He empowers you, gives you the wisdom, gives you the grace, gives you the unction, gives you whatever that it is to face up to that situation. Amen. Oh, friends. Jesus said, if you don't become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom. And Jesus was like, He was so dependent on His Father who dwelt in Him. He didn't want to make His own decisions. He didn't want to say His own things. He didn't want to handle things His own way. So that's why all the time Jesus, you can imagine how He was speaking inside of His heart all the time, Jesus. Maybe He sees the widow of Nain, she's weeping, coming down out of the gates of Nain. You know, and then somebody tells Him, no, it's her only child. And inside of Himself He's praying, saying, Father, what is it that you want me to do? I know you've given me authority to rebuke death, but is it your will? And then, you know, then he'd be in fellowship, then he'd get the instruction, get the directive fresh now, and then he'd go and do the will of God. And then he'd go here, and the big crowds gathered, and, you know, Father, is this where you want me to stay? And the voice said, no, get in the boat, go to the other side. There's a soul crying out on the other side. And that was the secret of His success. Jesus lived in that realm, and that's why when you read John 17, the high priest prayer of Jesus, you can see this is a man that he knows what he's praying about. There's an intimacy, there's a depth, there's such virtue in his prayer. And you can never have public prayer like that without having a lot of private prayer like that first. You know, because what you say outward is going to reflect what's going on within the veil. And that's where we become effective in our callings, effective in whatever it is, as mothers, as fathers, brothers, sisters, musicians, ministers, whatever, is when we get closer and closer to what Paul is saying, pray without ceasing. No, cultivate this kind of a life. Work at it. Labor towards it. No, learn. If there's something that keeps pulling you out of that atmosphere, something that keeps pulling you aside, learn and say, this is not helping me. This is my enemy. I need to circumcise myself of this thing inside of my life. Because what could be sweeter, friends, than living that kind of a life? What could be sweeter? Do you think a person who prays without ceasing is going to worry about the future? Do you think you're going to worry about if you're going to have rent at the end of the month? You'll never be even think. You're God conscious. You're not problem conscious. No, because the Lord is real, because you're drawing near to Him. Oh, Lord, I love you. Thank you for dying for me. Then He draws near to you. That's His promise. He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you, even in you, right to the end of the journey. So He's always near. But in order for us to break through that veil, to have and draw that virtue, that wisdom, that revelation, with the things that we need, it's prayer. It's a prayerful attitude. It's a prayerful approach to everything in life, realizing how dependent we are upon Him. And that's what King Uzziah lost. King Uzziah in the end thought he didn't need God. He could make his own decisions. And that's when he made shipwreck of his faith. That's when he stepped out of his position and took the place of a priest going to offer incense. But if he could have stayed just dependent on God and stayed under the authority of God's leadership and so forth, then you would never ever have seen such a sad ending of a person. And friends, it's so important. It's such an important principle. You know, that Paul is introducing, he's showing that, you know, under this new covenant, we must have prayer meetings, yes. You must have times in the closet. But that's not enough. No, there's far more available to us. No, you can pray any time of the day. You think in the prayer lines. How many times a person would just, the prophet would say, you pray now and ask the Lord, bring your need before to the high priest, before the throne of grace, and he'll speak to me and he'll call you out. And a person would just be sitting there, yeah? And a person just inside of their heart would say, Lord, I've been sick for a long time. Surely now is my time. Hey, and that desire of the heart, that something from the soul, yeah, would strike heaven, would strike the great high priest. And he now would respond through the ministry of the Son of Man. And the prophet would say, you were praying. And you prayed this, that, and the other. You know, the problem with us, like we grew up when we were young, to think you have to put a lot of sweat into prayer, otherwise it's not real prayer. And we've got to be careful of that. Now, we grew up getting out in the woods and praying and praying. And if you didn't sweat, you didn't feel like you prayed. Now, you wanted to shout and it's good. If that's the way you want to pray, that's how we all pray in different ways. But Paul's showing us that that's not always necessary. If you like that and you have opportunity, wonderful. But there's going to be so many times in life, so many situations on a daily basis we're going to face up to. You're not going to have an opportunity to go and pray like that. So you need to still lift your soul and speak to him from within the veil. And like you speak from the veil, he speaks back. You draw near, he draws near, and then you push on and you're praying without ceasing. You know, and that's what Paul's trying to say. He was trying to get the Jewish believers to say, look, guys, hey. Yes, we've had these customs of how you must pray. The prophet says, many times I get in the car and I drive along the road and I'm praying. That's how the prophet used to pray. You know, that was his method of praying. Other people, they pray in different ways. Some people like to go. We're with Brother Jacek in Poland. He says, I like to get up there in the mountains and just walk. And walking in the mountains and praying. That's funny. Hey, if a man can pray without ceasing, get in the presence of God. God's not interested in form and custom and all these things. That's Jewish religion. Paul's trying to say you can pray without ceasing. You can be driving in the car on the M50 and you're praying. You're having fellowship with the Lord. You're praying about your children, praying about your family, praying about a brother, praying about a sister. And you get your soul in the presence of God. That's praying without ceasing. The more we cultivate that kind of a walk on a daily basis, surely, friends, the more fruitful we're going to become. And then now when you're praying like that, then you can move into meditation because it says, meditate therein day and night. Think on these things. So the atmosphere is right now. The atmosphere is godly. Now when you're driving down there, you've been in prayer like that. Now you start, the Lord quickens some, you can start meditating on the word. And he says, you know, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. And the prophet was sitting between those trees that day, not saying anything openly, but he's having communion inside of his heart. And a voice is speaking to him, and the prophet's thinking to himself, how can that scripture be? And the Lord draws near and says, that scripture is true like any other scripture. Amen. And he starts breaking into a certain realm. But friends, you and I realize that you can't do this when you're in the flesh. No, you can't just do this. If you haven't been prayerful for a season, you can't quickly get back into this. It's like an athlete, you know, when you've been out of exercise for a while, got out of shape, when you wanted to get yourself back in shape, there's a process. You know, you're going to have to go through a process to get yourself back into that shape. You know, but friends, this is what the scripture says. We need to pray without ceasing. You know, this is the real New Testament way of doing things. And that's why that altar of incense, to me, I really saw it. I said, oh my, if inside of your soul there can always be perpetual incense, know that the attitude of your heart, the desire of your heart, even when you're thinking about other things. Now you have to do your work, you have to do your studies, but your heart isn't fully there. Your heart is saying, but Lord, oh, I just wish I could be in your presence now. I just wish I could be feeding on your word. And God is looking at your heart, and that expression, that desire is coming from your heart. The Lord is seeing, that's an incense coming up before the Lord. You know, when you're in that kind of a situation, you think of Eliezer. Eliezer never even prayed a single word. He's the model servant. But when he came to the well, he prayed within himself. And he said, oh, God of my master Abraham, you know, if you've granted me favor, please let the woman who comes be the one. Right in the midst of a busy place, a well at evening time. But he prayed a prayer, and that shows that he was walking with God before that. Now, this was part of the journey, part of his pilgrimage. Here comes a need. He prays. The Lord answers him, pushes on, comes to the next. Then he says, let the woman or the girl who comes and gives water to my camels and her be the one. Here comes Rebecca and waters the camels. What does he do straight away? He worships the Lord. The next verse says he bowed himself and he worshiped the Lord. And he thanked the God of his master Abraham. Ah, friends, that's a model servant, the prophet said. Now, someone who's so depending on the Lord, depending on his presence, depending on his fellowship and his revelation. And that's when you're in that condition, that's when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can lie in your bed and have communion with the Lord. And, you know, you might have your wife lying next to you. You know, you might be wherever that you are and you have communion with the Lord. You know, maybe your house is full, you can't get out of your bed and go and find. It doesn't need that. It's better to have opportunity to do that. It's better to pray with your voice. It's easier to pray. But friends, never let those things hinder you in your prayer. Because those things aren't necessary. Because prayer is the attitude of your heart. It's the expression of your soul. It's your desire coming up before the Lord. You're expressing yourself in whatever way, whatever place, whatever time, whatever posture you're in, whatever circumstance. Jonah was in the belly of a fish. And he prayed a prayer that's recorded in the Bible. Yeah, he just somehow said, let me find Jerusalem, and he prayed. And God heard him from in the belly of a fish. You know, friends, I think we've got to be careful because we can sometimes make a stereotype in our minds of how we must pray. You know, how much effort we must put in physically. It's not the physical effort. There are times like Jesus, you're going to have to agonize in prayer, that you will come away from struggling in prayer, resisting, you know. You'll come away sweating from that, but it doesn't always have to be like that. No, it can just be prayed other times that you can cry out to the Lord from your heart and nobody else even knows that you pray. But you're seeking Him with all your heart and He's responding to you and something's changing within the veil and somebody looks at you and you're just sitting there in your office. And they don't know what's taking place inside of your heart because God looks on the heart. That's what He says. That's what real prayer is. Prayer is right from the heart. It's this drawing near to the Lord. In this dependence upon the Lord. But if you wanted to come and offer incense, you had to be dressed right. The priest. You had to be separated, sanctified. There had to be blood on the brazen altar. Your sins had to be under the blood. There had to be an atonement first. The two altars had to work together. When they offered the morning sacrifice, then they offered the incense. When they offered the evening sacrifice of blood, then they offered the incense. Now you've got to come in the name of Jesus. You've got to come through His merits because of His imparted righteousness. You've got to come with your sins under the blood. You can't come in your own righteousness. You can't come in your own humanity, own mortality. You've got to come because God has chosen and separated you to offer incense before His presence, right in His presence. And He's equipped you. He's put the breastplate on your by your heart and He's put the stones upon your shoulders. And then He brings you now and says, okay, I've ordained you to offer incense at the time of the evening sacrifice. And you would come with a certain approach. You would come with a certain respect. You would come with a certain way that you would offer that incense. And that would come before the Lord as a sweet savor. And then the blessing would come down. Then His presence would minister to the needs of the people. Then God's presence would issue forth from behind the veil. And the people would be outside when the incense was being offered. They'd be offering their prayer outside. And the Lord now would be ministering to the needs of the people. Because it was a sweet savor. Let's finish with Psalm 141. Because this is what David speaks about in Psalm 141. Now David had that real, real revelation of what prayer was. Psalm 141 verse 2. Let's read from verse 1. It said, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. So it's a prayer of David. David's in prayer. And he's in a need. Verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. My. Saying, Lord, let my prayer be like incense. Let my prayer be acceptable before you. Let my prayer be quickened. Let it be a service that comes before you, that's sweet before you. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Yeah. So David really had a revelation there. He's praying about prayer. What he's praying, like we should pray many times, say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I want my prayer to be like incense before you. I want it when I lift up my hands that it's as acceptable as your prescribed sacrifice. You know, so in his prayers, praying about his prayer. And what did the disciples come to Jesus and ask? Say, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus would teach them how to pray. Oh, friends. And they could just see in Jesus that this man just doesn't pray, but he is prayer. Now, his life is just saturated with prayer. Now, he doesn't have to crank himself up in prayer. Whenever a situation comes, he's never taken by shock. He's never taken by surprise. He's never saying, okay, guys, let me just go the other side. I'll come back a little bit later. Jesus would always, but that was continual inside of his heart. Continual fellowship, continual prayer, continual offering of incense, continual offering of something that would keep a continual communion, a perpetual incense on the altar, right before the presence of the Shekinah glory. And I'm sure, saints, that's what you desire this evening as we pray. You may not be there. Friends, when I looked at that, it really challenged me. Because I look at certain times, you get busy, you get hustle and bustle during the day. You lose that fellowship and that communion. And you've got to come back later on, maybe lunchtime, get your Bible, get yourself back into that place. I said, oh Lord, if you could help me, you know, to be more diligent and disciplined on how I spend my time or the things that I watch and listen to, that I could pray without ceasing. How much to revolutionize my life, the life of those around me, bring forth far more excellent fruit than you'd bring forth when you're just spending those times and seasons when you have an opportunity. So, saints, let's ask the Lord to help us in prayer. Let's say, Lord, let my prayer come before your incense. Let it be a perpetual incense before your presence. Let it be something pleasing that brings forth your blessing. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me how to live a life that makes my prayer effective. Teach me, Lord. He's the master teacher, and I believe that he will. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's really seek his face this evening for whatever need that you have individually. You know where you are in your own spiritual life. Let's sing that chorus and that one, in your presence, that's where I belong. And let's come to a time of prayer. If you want to pray loud, if you want to shout, if you want to jump on the chair, wonderful. Whatever the Lord leads you to, if you want to pray quiet, if you want to pray under the chair, just as wonderful. As long as it's an expression from the soul. As long as it's incense upon the altar. In the presence of the Shekinah. That you're communing with him and his presence is coming down to start to minister to you and to quicken you and give you the things to pray, the things to say. Let his will be done. speak to him, saints. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, I do thank you, Lord, upon this evening that you've given to me grace. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's read one scripture again before we come to our prayer request this evening. Let's read Romans 12. Just to see that Paul, on this particular thought, he didn't just mention it once, but he says it in Romans 12, verse 12. Let's read it from verse 10. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another. That's Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business. So I say, look, don't be lazy in the things that you do. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. You may be seated just for a few minutes there before we take our prayer request. Now there's something about that particular thought, continuing instant in prayer. What that really means is to be devoted to prayer. You know, when you find people in the world, I remember there was that one worldly song which was called Hopelessly Devoted to You. You know, if you're devoted to somebody, especially if you're really devoted to somebody, even when they're not there, you're thinking about them. You know, you're longing to be with that person. You're longing to speak to that person. You're longing to have fellowship, communion with that person. So even when that person's not there, yeah? But there's the desire inside of you. When you're doing something else, when you've had to, you know, go to another place inside of yourself, if your desire could be met, you wouldn't be where you are. You'd be with that person. And that's what Paul is saying about continuing instant in prayer, saying devoted to prayer. You know, so even if you don't have an opportunity to really pray the way that you desire while you're at college, but inside of your soul, you're longing for that. You're looking forward to the next opportunity that you're going to get. That you're able to shut yourself in and express yourself before the Lord and draw nigh and enter into a communion with Him. You know, so it's a desire of the soul that is just waiting and looking for an opportunity to express itself. And even when it's not able to express itself, that the Lord sees the desire of the soul. And He knows that if this person, if brother so-and-so had an opportunity to really worship Me now, they would. You know, and the Lord takes that now already as if you were doing it. It's pleasing. It's a continual, perpetual incense upon the altar. Because the Lord can really see the desire of your heart. Is the thing that you really, really desire is that communion, is that leadership, is that wisdom, that revelation for Him to lead and guide you. You know, and for someone to live like it, I was thinking of the prophet. You know, it's incredible, the prophet, if you listen to the testimonies. You think that time when he went up the Alaska Highway with Brother Buskell and with Brother Chris Berg, and they're going up to Brother Bud Southwick. And then they just get into that restaurant, and while they're sitting, imagine over a plate of soup, the prophet says, you know, brother, there was a woman that was put in the prayer line last night. Yeah? And he says, and she was blind. Yeah? And another woman gave up her place, whatever it was, so that she could go through the prayer line. He says, and that woman, maybe she's praying now. He says, she has gallstones. She has something, I think it was liver problems. She has something else. And then he kind of comes back to himself. And then he says, Brother Eddie, do you believe? And Brother Eddie Biscuit says, I do believe. And then Brother, sitting in a restaurant, says, okay, I'll ask him. And he'll tell me her name. Amen. And Brother Biscuit says, Brother, I'm just... Pause a little bit like that. Imagine that prayer. Just in himself. He's saying, Father, please help my brother to understand this ministry. He's having some doubts. Please give me her name. And the Lord gives it. Says, her name is Mrs. Fair. In English, we'd say Fear, but it's a German name. Her name is Fair. My. That's praying without ceasing. That's a person who's in a condition that any time, you know, any circumstance, when there's a need, there's communion, there's discourse, there's a petition that goes up and a response that comes down. That's a communion for our saints. Who doesn't want that kind of a life? Not to live that kind of a life. And we saw it in Jesus, the God-man, the virgin-born Son of God. And then we saw it in a redeemed man. In this age, that a man could live so close to God like that. Now, if you listen to the testimony of Brother Ed, what was the brother, the hunting guide? The one, Dawson Riley. And he says, I think it was him, or it might have been Perry Green. No, it was Perry Green. He says, when they went out hunting with the prophet, and then each of them had to take a turn, I think they were watching over something. So he says, and each of them had to go, and they'd all go and sit under the certain tree, and everyone else would sleep. And then when it was their turn to keep watch, they'd wake up the next person. And he says, it was my turn to go to that place after Brother Branham had his turn on watch duty. He says, and he came and he woke me up, and Brother Branham went to his sleeping bag. And that brother says, and when I went and sat down under that tree, he said, it was just the glory of God. He says, there was such a presence that was there.
Amen.
You know, it's an incredible thing to think. It doesn't matter where he was, the prophet, he could have that communion.
Amen.
He could just break within the veil. And he could just offer that incense because of a sanctified life, a consecrated life. No, being a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ, a prisoner to his will. A man that was really an instrument now in the hands of God. That doesn't matter where he is. That time we've read it many times before about, you know, the three testimonies before breakfast.
Amen.
And the prophet's going for breakfast and the Lord just speaks to him. And says, no, go down here, turn left, turn right, turn right. They get to that, whatever cafeteria the name was. And there was a person been praying the whole night. And the Lord had spoken to them in a dream and said, go down to the cafeteria at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Brother Branham walks in at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, that kind of a life, friends. You've got to walk softly before the Lord. Now, you've got to desire His presence. You've got to desire to do His will. You've got to, from your soul, you know, something inside of your soul, you know, do whatever it takes inside of your life to allow your soul to express itself. You know, to allow that prayer to come through. Because you know what it's like sometimes. You burden in your soul. But you can't quite find how to express it. It's like your thoughts are confused. There's an oppression. There's a spiritual warfare going in the realm of the human spirit. But your soul is wanting to express itself in some way. No, but then you get to a certain place where you get into a certain atmosphere. And now your soul can really express itself. And now you can really, really start to put before the Lord the very desire that's deep down inside of yourself. Oh, friends, that's the kind of a condition we want. Now, to finish off, the great enemy of this that we need to overcome is relying on our feelings. Because some of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, David was in trouble. David was even feeling God was far from him. He's crying out, my God, why hast thou, you know, forsaken me? Yet God was speaking through David. David wasn't feeling that God was near at that time. David wasn't feeling the conscious presence of God, something quickening him at that time. But he was speaking from his soul. God had put him in a certain situation, a certain circumstance to bring forth a certain expression from him. And that was God's word, and God took and put it in Psalm 22. And many of the things, the circumstances you find David in, he'd be saying, oh, why art thou cast down my soul? Hope thou in God. You know? It's like he's feeling depressed. His soul isn't feeling victorious, but he's praying. His soul is still expressing itself. He's not feeling victorious. He's not feeling that he's, you know, in heavenly places at that time. But that was God's word coming through the lips of that man. He was in such an inspiration without realizing his inspiration. So the great enemy to praying without ceasing is if we start looking at our feelings. But I can't feel him at this time. You know, I can't feel his presence. You know, I don't feel like praying at this time. Feelings have got nothing to do with it. He's promised, I will be with you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake. He's always with you as a believer. Whether you feel him or not, he's there. You don't have to feel him to pray. You see, and if you really want it, it's going to come seasons, it's going to seem dry in prayer. It's going to seem that you, like David in the Psalms, you know, difficult times, like Job when he couldn't seem to get an answer from the Lord. But that doesn't mean that your soul can't express itself before the Lord. Sometimes those are the most precious times. You know, sometimes you get the greatest inspiration, you know, to impart virtue in the lives of other people. by you going through those kind of times. And now you persevering and continuing to hold on to the Lord, even when you can't see Him or feel Him or touch Him or continue. It seems like the Lord is long. Why have you forsaken me? He'll never forsake you. Jesus said, I will never forsake you. Why? Because on the cross He was forsaken so that we will never be forsaken. He had to die out of the presence of God so that we never need to be out of the presence of God. The veil has been rent. The way is made open. So don't trust in your human spirit with its senses and its emotions and those kind of things, because there's going to be many times that you really want to pour out your soul before the Lord and you don't feel the things that you'd like to feel. That's got nothing to do with it. That doesn't stop a real believer from worshiping. Job still worshiped the Lord. He didn't feel like it. His children were dead. His cattle were dead. His camels had been taken captive. His wife was not in the same spirit as him. And he comes and he makes his altar. And that was a pleasing sacrifice before the Lord. And that was a rebuke and a kick in the teeth to the devil. And that angered the devil. Says, my, how can this man continue to worship his God like that? And I said, don't look at feelings. And pray. Don't wait for ideal situations, ideal circumstances, because the devil knows how to keep taking them away from you. If you're waiting for the ideal circumstance, you know, when this happens and I get enough time, I'm really going to call upon. No. It'll never happen. Just take the opportunity that what is in your hand now. Use that opportunity now. And that can be the forerunner of greater things to come. You know, you don't have to wait until, you know, the conditions come just right. Yes, we all love those kind of times. We love those kind of times where you enter into prayer and everything just comes together and you spend a lot of time in His presence and it's so glorious. But it's not always going to be like that. It wasn't like that for Jesus. Look at Jesus. He continued to pray on the cross. Yeah? When He had become sin for us, when He was made a curse for us, when the Eternal had separated Himself from Him, didn't stop Him from praying. He still prays and He makes intercession for the transgressors. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what. It's got nothing to do with how you feel. Do you think Jesus felt like it at that time? In His spirit, He was tormented. He was under judgment. In His body, He was thirsting. He had lost blood. His heart was about to break from the pressure. But it doesn't mean that He didn't have incense on the altar. It was a perpetual incense. And that was so pleasing. That's so pleasing. So it's not the feelings about it, friends. That's where we go wrong. See, no, I really tried to pray without ceasing, but hey, it was hard. That's okay. It's going to be hard. This is a battlefield. You think the devil's going to sit back there and pat you on the back and encourage you on the way to pray? The thing that he fears the most is a believer who prays without ceasing. Because you're going to be damaging his kingdom every step of the way. Every time you come in contact with something the devil's doing, if you're in that condition, he's going to be destroyed. Darkness is going to be turned to light. The captives are going to be set free. Where there's discouragement, encouragement's going to come. Where people don't know the Lord, they're going to know about the Lord. That's a fruitful life. So that's what the devil doesn't want. So that's why in this kind of an age, friends, oh, I think it's a great reward to someone who can live that kind of a life in Laodicea, in these kind of times. Oh, friends, I think there's a great reward. Like the song which the La Fontaine sing, "This is She," you know. And you'll get there and you'll think that you'll go and say to Paul, "Paul, you are so great. How could you overcome the lions and overcome Rome and all of that?" And then you get there and then the believers will be coming to you and say, "Oh, you're the bride of the last age. How did you stand through those times? You lived in the most desperate hour, but you continued to worship the way that you did." Friends, it'll be a great testimony. And I'm sure you want that testimony just as much as I desire that testimony. So it's not feelings. It's not looking to that which is seen. It's looking to the unseen. Yeah, do what's right and the feelings will follow. That's the law of God. Whether there's feelings or not, just do what's right. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your ways. Draw near to Him. And there has to come a breakthrough at some time. And then the feelings and all the other things, the blessings, they follow down the way. But friends, it's such an important principle in the spiritual warfare that we're in, not to focus much on the realm of your spirit. Your emotions, how you feel. I feel depressed today. I feel oppressed. Oh, I don't feel like getting on money. It's got nothing to do with it, friends. Those are the times that you can make a testimony. Those are the times things can continually turn, totally turn around. It's those times when you didn't feel like it. When everything seemed against you, when your head was sore, when your body didn't want to respond. But inside of your soul, there was something wanted to be expressed. And he said, I'm just going to go and express myself before the Lord. And you offered that incense and it can transform the whole situation. And that can be from that time, that can be a time-tested memorial in your life, that can be a new entry in your spiritual diary, that can be so many things can take place just because of that. So friends, prayer is so important. Just as much as the word is important, so is prayer important. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, the devil tries to tempt you without ceasing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. You don't want to meet the devil when you're not prepared. You know, that's why Paul said, hey, keep it. Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Let's really keep ourselves prayerful. Friends, keep ourselves in the presence of God. Does anybody have any prayer requests this evening that we bring before the Lord? Brother David was asking for prayer. They came to fix his boiler. Like I said, the devil knows how to plan things well. You wait for the engineer to come for 2 days to come and fix your boiler, and then the ending comes just before church. It always happens like it. So you ask for prayer. Brother Will? Amen. Let's pray for Adasa. She's got an eye infection. Brother Max?
I want us to remember
Brother David Kotu, yeah?
Aha.
Amen, 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 amen. Brother David Kotu, let's remember him in prayer for his eyes, that the Lord may continue to do his work.
And he,
yes, bro.
Sasha from Limerick.
Yes, bro.
He was requesting that his car is causing trouble, so he can't bring his family to church. So he's trying to find a new car or a way to fix his car.
Amen. Let's remember Brother Sasha. He's a real fine brother. Let's remember him from Limerick. The Lord might help with the transport problems for his family. Let's pray for the weekend. Let's pray for the service on Sunday.
Amen.
Let's pray the Lord will continue to bless.
Amen.
Let's continue to put wood on the fire to keep the fire burning.
Amen.
Let's seek for that, friends. It's a blessing. The Lord is doing good things, friends. We're saying that even when we went to both Brother Yatsik and Pona, we're saying that we moved into a building here, which isn't the best building. But ever since the first service we had here, the Lord's really blessed us.
Amen.
It's been a real blessing, you know. So the Lord really, really has been kind to us. But, you know, let's really appreciate the Lord for what he's doing. Let's never take for granted the blessings of the Lord. The more that you appreciate them and water them, see how they'll increase. Let's continue to seek him for that. And whatever else is on your heart, let's stand, saints. Let's put these petitions before the Lord. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart. We've had an opportunity to pray about ourselves, about our own situations. Now let's pray. Let's make intercession, like Paul said, on behalf of the church. You know, he said, pray for me, Paul said, you know, that doors may be opened, that utterance may be given. You know, pray for the ministry, pray for the officers of the church, pray for the deacons, that the Lord continues to lead them and use them, whether that's pray for the trustees. You know, pray for each brother, each sister, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. And let's put these particular requests, Brother Sasha, Brother David Kotu. Let's put each of these things which have been requested this day, let's put them before the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song as we ask Brother Max to come to close for us. Let's sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of prayer, a world of care. Let's not forget the old songs, saints. Those songs that have been so anointed and used down through the generations. It's very tempting in this age where we like all the snappy sort of songs and all the faster, but it's wonderful to go back to those things that God has blessed, time-tested. And you look back in your own experience and you think of these songs, how they used to bless you in the days of your youth. Let it always be so.
Upon this exhortation this evening.
Amen.
Let us all consider one thing.
Amen.
Where is the dwelling place of the Almighty God?
Hallelujah.
He said, I will dwell in you.
Amen.
Amen.
And walk in you.
Amen. Amen.
Ye are the temple of the living God.
Yes, Lord.
That's why this evening the exhortation that has come. The word of God admonishing us, pray without ceasing. Oh, dear Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We ask for your help, Lord, this evening.
Yes, Lord.
There are many things that, Lord Jesus, it takes our time, Lord.
Amen.
We do things that, Lord Jesus, that are not expedient.
Yes, Lord.
We do things that, Lord Jesus, that edify us not. But tonight, Lord Jesus, you've reminded us that you dwell in us.
Yes, Lord.
And you are a God of worship.
Amen.
And that's why, Lord Jesus,
yes, Lord,
we should pray without ceasing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that, Lord Jesus, the incense, Lord, will be a perpetual one, burning, O God, in our hearts. Father, this evening, what we have heard, we pray that there will be a revival in our souls.
Hallelujah.
A revival of prayer, O God.
Amen.
That we will cease not praying, Lord Jesus. Father, this evening, we've committed, Lord, our request, Lord, unto you.
Yes, Lord.
Even as we have tarried for one another.
Amen.
Lord, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That every request the Lord has come, O Lord, has not been from us.
Amen.
But your spirit, Lord, the utterances, Lord, has come from you.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord Jesus, our faith anchors. That, Lord, every request has been already answered.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, whilst we leave you, Lord, let's take this exhortation, Lord.
Amen.
Into our closes.
Yes, Lord.
Into our life, Lord.
Amen.
That no matter where we are, in the kitchen, in our homes,
amen,
in the working places,
oh, yes,
or even when driving, amen, wherever we are, Lord, let our soul, oh Lord, will be communion with you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Always lifting up your name, oh Lord, yes, upon our hearts, oh God.
Amen.
Father, as you dwell in us, Lord, we need to keep that incense perpetually burning, oh God.
Yes,
help us, Lord Jesus, to overcome,
yes,
those little things that easily besets us, oh God.
Amen.
That the whole of our life, oh Lord, we will consecrate, Lord, unto thee.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your word this evening.
Yes, Lord.
Even, Lord, as we live, oh God, we want to commit ourselves into your hands.
Amen.
You granted us many mercies from our various,
yes,
homes.
Lord.
Lord, take us, oh God, once again upon your hands, Lord Jesus,
amen,
upon the wings of the eagle, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, even when another day opens unto us, if you will tarry,
amen, Lord.
Lord, let us continue without ceasing,
amen,
without ceasing our prayer, O Lord.
Amen.
And even Father, we commit Sunday also into your hands,
yes, Lord,
that we will come, O Lord. Oh, Father, with all, Lord Jesus, every one of,
yes,
us,
Lord.
Oh, filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Filled with true prayer, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord Jesus, when two omnipotents meet,
yes, Lord, amen, amen,
oh,
amen,
they will come down in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
So we commit, Lord Jesus, this weekend, Sunday, into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
And even, Father, once again, speak to us again.
Yes. Amen.
We thank you for all what you have done for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thanks, brother. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. God bless you. Saints, let's sing one as we dismiss, if you have, Brother Georgie.
In the name of Jesus with you.